the upper room is the most frequently mentioned space in the Easter season. The Triduum of Holy Thursday begins in the upper room as the Lord institutes the Last Supper. It's in the upper room that what's called the Last Supper Discourse, of which we heard part of in today's gospel, was spoken by our Lord. It's in the upper room that our Lord goes into that private prayer with the Father, called his high priestly prayer, as he prepares to ascend to the wood of the cross, the true altar. It's in the upper room that on the evening of Easter Sunday, when the apostles are there with doors locked because they're afraid, that Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." It's in the upper room that a week later, Thomas is with them, and our Lord gives to us that most beautiful beatitude. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. The upper room, how important it is. But think about this dimension of the upper room. It was the place where, in some ways, the disciples, the apostles, experienced their most troublesome moments. Indeed, it was in the upper room that Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." For indeed, their hearts were troubled because they knew of the Lord's impending passion. When they left the first Eucharist, they were pondering and wondering, why did Judas go early? And why did Jesus give him this direction to do quickly what he had planned? What was it that Judas was going to do? It was after they left the upper room that as Jesus was arrested, that they forsook him and fled. It was after Jesus had said, "Lord, I will go to death with you," in the upper room, that then around the fire, he denies even knowing Jesus. It was in the upper room, as I said, that they were there with doors locked on Easter Sunday because they were afraid. The events of the world had so pressed in on them over that weekend that they felt isolated, confused, and wondered, what is going to happen next? As I was meditating upon the upper room, it struck me that these are Jesus' closest friends. And in that upper room, they experienced real and intense anguish. And I think the upper room is a good place from which we are to consider the anguished events of the last 15 months. COVID has so affected us that we too are behind locked doors because of, I think, a prudent and rightful fear of transmission. Our children and our young adults have had to experience school and university in a way that is unparalleled. No previous generation has had to do school quite this way. Yes, in previous generations, there have been other challenges for sure, but not the virtual challenge of trying to be in school, out of school, online, offline, trying to learn when it's so easy to be distracted, trying to teach, trying to work, socialize, interact in a virtual world where screens allow us to connect, well, sort of. Because here's the thing about all of these screens, it's kind of like these masks we have to wear when in proximity one to another. The screen also creates a distance that separates us from one another. Like, we can't tell if we're laughing, smiling, frowning. What's going on in there? So while we sit in this upper room, the 15 of us who are here at Mass this morning, those of you who are participating through the live stream, we experience a whole range of emotions. Maybe anger, frustration, distraction, boredom, restlessness, isolation, fatigue, maybe a little bit of optimism and hope that we're getting to the end of this. Well, it was in that upper room, that 50 days after Easter, the apostles, the brothers of Jesus, our mother, in total, 120 were gathered. And they were doing what Jesus had said, wait here in Jerusalem until the coming of the Holy Spirit. They were waiting. Aren't we a waiting people? Waiting to hear the news when vaccination numbers will be such that we can begin to gather again. Waiting so that grandparents can hug their grandchildren and have them come over for a sleepover and make them pancakes on Saturday morning. Waiting to celebrate that wedding that has been deferred because of COVID. Waiting for that time when we can gather with friends again for a dinner party, light candles, enjoy a glass of wine, and a good meal. Waiting to truly celebrate a birthday, to sit leisurely in a restaurant, to be able to have a funeral reception, to go to a football game, waiting to have a picnic in the park, waiting for that day when you can turn off your computers and you can return to Mass. Waiting for that day when we can unlock the doors of this church and put away Mass attendance sheets. Waiting for that day when we can say to the parishioners of St. Peter's, please sit wherever you want to. Waiting. Waiting. We've never experienced, I think, waiting quite in the way we are waiting now. Because we're waiting for the end of the coronavirus. We want it to be behind us. And while this particular form of waiting is at the forefront of our thoughts and feelings these days, Pentecost proclaims that there's something else we're waiting for. Well, actually, it's not a something else, it's a someone else. We are waiting for the Holy Spirit. For while thankfully the vaccine will help to bring this virus to an end, the vaccine will not be able to heal community. The vaccine will not be able to help us to be able to live one with another in a community of love. And that's why the church always has to wait upon the Lord for the coming of the Holy Spirit. For you see, it is the Spirit of the living God who enfolds us into the community of love. It is the Spirit of the living God who then enables us and empowers us to witness to Jesus in what will be our post-COVID reality. Now let's think a little bit more about that upper room. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer physically present, but Mary is. And just as she had been there to nurture the physical body of the Savior, so too now Jesus entrusts to her the maternal care to nurture the physical body of the church, the body of Christ through space and time. And here's the thing about our mother. Remember who her true spouse is? Yes, of course, it's Blessed Saint Joseph. But she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Because she had had her life interrupted in a way where everything changed overnight, kind of like what it did for us on March 16th, 2020, the beginning of COVID. For her, it was even, I think, more drastic. Mary, God wants to be born in and through you. Lord, how's that possible? Mary, you can't do it on your own, but the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And he will empower you. He will enfold you in his love. And out of that enfoldment in the love of the Holy Spirit, you will give birth to the Savior of the world. And you will go on mission because you will be empowered. And so it's beautiful that St. Luke says that the church is now gathered around Mary as they wait for the same Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to enfold them into the love of this true community. The Holy Spirit without whom we cannot say that Jesus Christ is Lord. But when we know Jesus personally, when we know the lover who truly loves us, Then as we are enfolded in his love, we understand more what St. Paul said in today's reading from Corinthians. Now there are varieties of gift, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who activates them in everyone. Do you see how each dimension of the work of grace is tied to one of the three persons of the Blessed and Holy Trinity? The gifts are paired with the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit gifts each of us because each of you here, each of you participating through the live stream, you are vital to the church. You matter. You are part of this community. And he gifts us so that, in turn, we can fulfill acts of service. And that's tied to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And then it speaks of the activities of God. Think about God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who is always active, but always contained within God's self, in himself, to enable us to share in that activity. Beloved, St. Paul says that all of this, these gifts, this service, this activity is for the common good. And although it's been so difficult and so faltering, and we can agree and disagree with decisions that governments have made, at some level in the last 15 months, we've been asked to think about the common good in a way that perhaps we haven't to through the whole of our adult lives. But the church has always been about this. This is why the church exists, for the common good. And when we know what it is to be enfolded in love, then in turn we are equipped and empowered for mission. I love how, in today's reading, we're told that as the apostles spoke and the others gathered in the room, that the world is gathered in Jerusalem. Over 1 million people are in the city for the Feast of Pentecost. And they're from every nation under the sun, and they hear them speaking in their own language. One of the things the Lord is going to call the church to, I think, post-COVID, is how do we speak in the dialect of an age that has forgotten God? How do we speak in the dialect of an age that lives virtually but does not know how to live virtuously? How do we live and how do we speak the dialect of a people who spend all of our times on screens that screen us from one another? We do not have what it takes. None of us. But God does. And God has given to you and to me through our baptism, our confirmation, and through being the community of the faithful, he has given to us his Holy Spirit. And so he wants to equip us for the post-COVID church, which is not going to be like the church before COVID. For the post-COVID world, which is not going to be going back to what was. We don't know what it will be. But this is a time of urgency. This is a time for mission. This is a time for the people of God to know that we too are the gathered community, gathered around Mary, our Blessed Mother, so that we can be enfolded in the love of the Holy Spirit and equipped and empowered to spread his love to a world that is desperately in need of the love of God. So on this Pentecost Sunday, my beloved brothers and sisters, may we allow Mary to extend her maternal care so as to live Pentecost in the months ahead as a people not just waiting for the end of COVID, but as an expectant people waiting for the Holy Spirit to more fully enfold, equip, and empower us so that we can leave the upper room of the Mass to go out into this world and joined with those ancient brothers and sisters on Pentecost Sunday touch the world in a way that the world has not been touched in our time, just as that first generation of Christians did the same. Do not be afraid. Trust in the one who is love.